Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Malcolm Hohnlein, my colleague and friend, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. We're headed to Lebanon, where there's nothing but trouble and it's not transparent. So we welcome David Shanker. Washington Institute is going to help us understand why Hezbollah is acting as if it wants to fight. What is in it for Hezbollah? Where is the push to provoke Israel, given the threat to the northern border? David, a very good evening to you. Who drives this? Is it Tehran? Is it Beirut? Is it an outside player to be named later? Why now, David? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Good evening, John. Good evening, Malcolm. Well, Lebanon's a complicated place, and I don't know who's driving this. Certainly within Lebanon, Hezbollah is the decider. And of course, Tehran, I think, while they're de-escalating in the Gulf itself, you know, you've got the Iranian foreign minister going to Riyadh, I think, you know, tomorrow. They're bringing the conflict elsewhere. And certainly, I think Hezbollah, Nasrallah has said this, the head of Hezbollah, a number of times, that Israel is weak. Hezbollah reads the internal strife within Israel, the fight, the protests over the judicial reform as a sign of weakness and an opportunity. And so you see just increasing and increasing provocations on the border, setting up tents across the border, military posts, sending drones across the border, letting Hamas and the Palestinian Islamic Jihad fire missiles from its territory. It now has open firing range in the south along the border. This is a mess, and it's not going to end well.
Malcolm?
So when we look at the current situation, we can make a joke about, but it's a very sad situation that the Palestinians are fighting Palestinians, Palestinians fighting Hezbollah, Hezbollah fighting Christians. Everybody seems to be fighting somebody there. And Nasrallah gets up and starts giving speeches showing how he closely follows the Israeli media and trying to manipulate that information, even talking about the religious community's divisions and how he interprets the events in Israel. What is his priority? Is he trying to destabilize the situation in Israel, in Lebanon, in both, or does he not care?
Well, I think he sees an opportunity with Israel. And there has been, I think, a consistent, slow but consistent erosion of Israeli deterrence vis-a-vis Hezbollah in recent years. Just take the maritime border agreement. You know, when I was in government, I opened these negotiations between Israel and Lebanon. Well, what happened in the months leading up to the agreement? Hezbollah told Israel, basically announced that if Israel started extracting natural gas from Karish, a rig off the coast of Israel, in undisputed international waters, without an agreement being reached on the border, on the maritime border with Lebanon, that Hezbollah would attack the rig. And Israel said, we're going to start to extract gas whenever we are ready. And in fact, they delayed by 2-3 months so as to not to avoid a war with Hezbollah or military confrontation. I think this was a vindication for Hezbollah that that they are undeterred and that Israel is as deterred perhaps as Hezbollah is in terms of going back to war.
The question of the border provocations. There was a tent that set up. Maybe it's there. Maybe it's not. A few have tried to go through the lines. Why? Why now? Is this troublemaking season in Lebanon?
Well, the tents are still there. Although my understanding is that Hezbollah operatives are no longer in them. I think we're seeing all this along the border because over the years, Israel has this sort of envelope of deterrence, which is they calibrate their responses to Hezbollah provocation, but they play by a certain rule book that Hezbollah has defined, that Israel can attack Hezbollah or Iran in Syria, but not in Lebanon. And so Hezbollah continues to push the envelope and expand the areas in which it can operate. And as long as no Israelis are killed in any particular operation, then there's not a cost to pay. But they're coming perilously close. We saw a few months back that a Hezbollah operative crossed the border, as you said, and planted a roadside bomb in Megiddo. This is not along the border. This is far into Israel, and it exploded and killed, I think, an Israeli Arab. But you know, had this been a school bus full of Israeli kids, we would have found ourselves in a very different situation.
Malcolm?
And they did try to breach the same location where they kidnapped the soldiers or killed the soldiers in the past. But Israel has put these deterrents there. I wanted to ask you about the arrest, the sanctions that the United States has placed. This is really just in the last, I guess, 24 hours against Green Without Borders, which turns out to be this very extensive network of outposts working for Hezbollah throughout Lebanon. How much of an impact will this have? If they're able to put them out of business, will it impact Hezbollah's capabilities there?
Well, listen, this was a long overdue designation. Well, back when I was in government, I talked to Treasury about this. This is a quasi fake, NGO, environmental NGO that Hezbollah has set up, and they plant trees to, impede Israeli visibility into Israel, and then use these territories as military training bases and digging in, maybe digging tunnels into Israel. The fact is, sanctions are an important tool of U.S. national power. They are necessary, but they are insufficient. Hezbollah doesn't have, bank accounts necessarily associated with this. They designated an individual who's the head of the group. Hezbollah has something called Card al-Hassan. As the Lebanese currency is devaluated 98% or so in the past 2 years, they've gone to an all-cash system, and it suits them very well, and they have access to cash. Lebanon is unbanked now, and so I don't think there's going to be a real impact on it other than informational impact, that we can talk more about it, we can encourage other partners to talk about it, and we can try and put pressure on UNIFIL. This is the UN interim force in Lebanon, the peacekeepers in the south, to start looking at these areas. Not that they're going to do anything about it anyway. They don't take Hezbollah weapons, but a form of pressure, maybe additional pressure on the ground.
For many years, David, Malcolm and I have heard of the War of the North, and it was always imminent, always looming, and mentioning all the missiles, rockets that are stored in Bekaa, and some of them with improved targeting. Is that a legend that's passed, or is that still floating as a possibility, War of the North launching those missiles?
Yeah, Hezbollah has been actively involved in a project over the past 5-10 years called the Precision Guided Munition Project. That is, Iran is providing them with upgrade kits that they fit on these dumb rockets and missiles that makes them into precision-guided munitions. And this ultimately will propose constitute a strategic threat to Israel. It will overwhelm the Iron Dome system. And they're moving along in that program. 5 years ago, this was the number two priority for Israel in terms of its threat assessment, number one being the Iranian nuclear program. But Israel has essentially dropped mention of this PGM program. I'm not sure why. Maybe they're considering it less of a threat, but this program proceeds unimpeded. There is, mutually assured destruction. Israel will emerge the victor, but as Nasrallah said in his recent speech, it's not only Israel that can bomb Lebanon back to the Stone Age. A great deal of damage can be done to Israel, too. And there has to be a way for Israel to take steps to break this escalatory cycle and to reestablish deterrence. But until now, they haven't done it.
We have 1 minute, Malcolm.
Quickly tell us about Putin's recruitment of Palestinians in Lebanon to fight in Ukraine.
Tell you the truth, I don't know much about it. There are 150,000, 180,000 Palestinians in Lebanon. The leading employer of these Palestinians is UNRWA, the UN Relief and Works Agency. These people need money. They are trained fighters and are susceptible to recruitment. And as we've seen, Putin can't count on Wagner, his own mercenaries, the way he used to. So I'd say this will be another contribution, but probably not a substantial game-changing contribution to its war effort.
David Shanker is the top senior fellow at the Washington Institute, also director of the Linda and Tony Rubin Program on Arab Politics, Malcolm Honlein Conference of Presidents. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.